Well, more than once recently, I've heard singers here speak of a certain shaking in the knees. You know, it takes a lot of courage to stand before the church and to offer your voice in praise, or to go to a baseball game and sing in front of a huge crowd of people. And we have in our community some professional musicians accustomed to public performance. But more often, the music that adorns our worship comes not from professionals, but from ordinary people who practice music faithfully and then offer their voices courageously. Now, I've never noticed it myself, but they tell me that they can feel it. Knees shaking as they raise their voice. You might say it's just nerves, but Moses trembled too when he entered into the presence of God. The fact is that there is a lot of shaking in the presence of God. Maybe it's a quiver in the spine, the fright that comes, the fright to come into the midst of so much power. Maybe it's more of a tremble, like a struck tine, attention wrapped in reverence and awe. Or maybe it's just the shaking that occurs naturally when God reaches into our lives and rattles us awake to every blessing that we took for granted and every gift that we forgot to hold in gratitude. Maybe you know that the late night comic Stephen Colbert is a faithfully observant Roman Catholic. And every once in a while, you'll hear Colbert speak with disarming candor about his faith and how it, what it has meant to him in some of the darkest moments of his life. Raised in Charleston, Colbert's life was deeply shaken at the age of 10 when he lost his father and two of his 11 brothers in a plane crash. The CNN anchor, Anderson Cooper, has lived through his share of grief too. His older brother died by suicide in 1988. And just this June, Cooper's mother, the heiress Gloria Vanderbilt, passed away at the age of 95. So it seemed less like a CNN interview than a visit to the rectory last week when Anderson Cooper sat down with Stephen Colbert. Cooper was visibly shaken. The makeup and lighting could not hide that his face was flush, his eyes were moist, his voice was halting, his whole body was ringing with the tension of that struck time. And Colbert has often said very mysterious things about the loss of his father and his brothers at a very early age. And Cooper was there to ask him what in the world he meant by those things. Colbert had once said, "I learned to love the very thing I most wish had not happened." "What in the world do you mean by that?" Cooper was there to ask. "How have you found the presence of God in your life when it was so shaken?" "Well, we are asked to accept the world that God gives us," Colbert replied calmly, "and to accept it with gratitude. What option do we have?" He went on to share how he perceived the presence of God in loss, not just in blessing. He felt that God was present not just when his life was stable, but also when his life was shaking. And when our lives are shaken, we are prone to assume that God must be absent then. It's too difficult to reach for God in the midst of life's disruptions, when our world begins to change in the most unwelcome ways. And when our world starts to change, surely that must be because we are forgotten or somehow forsaken. We reason that God must be distant when we feel shaken. But people of God, I am here to tell you today a different story. There is nothing biblical about the little story we tell ourselves that God is gone when we feel shaken. If you're reading the Bible that I'm reading, the shaking starts when God comes close. The trembling of Moses at the burning bush. The tectonic imagery of the psalmist who sings of God's power to move mountains. The voice that comes to Job out of the whirlwind. Where were you when I sunk the foundations of the earth? The Hebrew Bible proclaims that God who laid the foundations of our world likes to come back around and shake things up again. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. All of creation and all of our lives belong to God, and it is God's prerogative to come back around. Sometimes it feels like we're just loose change tumbling around in God's pocket. We feel small and powerless, but our world does not shake apart from God. Earlier this week, we had the opportunity to host a dozen ecumenical guests from a sister church in Germany. For some reason, Christian people in Germany seem to love to come to Chapel Hill. Now, this is not the group of Germans that we spent time last year from Cologne Pesch. This is rather another group of Germans. Do you know that as your pastor, I am currently trying to maintain relationships with three separate groups of Germans who have come into some kind of relationship with our church by various means? I don't completely understand the history of these relationships, but I do have a theory about why various groups of Christian people like to visit us from Germany. You know, for better part of a century now, people of faith in Germany have wrestled with why there was so little organized Christian resistance to Hitler's ascent. And people who follow Jesus worldwide have had to ask themselves very deep questions about that. And in Germany, there has been a public reckoning, you know, with the Nazi regime, public trials, idolatrous monuments removed from the public square. Well, and then they come to the American South and they learn about the structures of racism that endure here. And they hear the rhetoric of our leaders and they see our monuments to the Confederacy and they think, well, wow, at least our Third Reich came to an end. These Americans are still in denial about what they're doing to each other. Well, anyway, these particular guests had been attracted by our solar panels. And they wanted to learn more about what we had to say about climate change. And they were definitely impressed with our solar panels, and they were really impressed with the reusable dinnerware that we serve the meal on. But lest we get too self-righteous about all that we're doing to save the planet, we told them terrifying stories about coal ash and toxic waste and landfills. We shared with our guests the creation justice covenant that we had adopted as a church. And Alan Reed and Kathy Shea and Ingrid Schmidt all described in their own words how climate change and environmental racism are symptoms of a wrong relationship with God. Christian people in Germany tend to have a really strong doctrine of sin. I mean, they feel deep in their hearts the sadness and the regret and the shame of living through the Second World War. And friends I've made in German churches tend to be super realistic about dynamics of power, about the shortcomings of our good intentions, about the human capacity to enable and encourage systems of evil and death that hold us all in their grip. And they spoke to us really compellingly about the feeling of despair that comes when we contemplate the horrible things that humankind has done, the wrong things that we do to one another, the wrong things that we have done to the earth. And in our despair, we feel so distant from God. And that only makes matters worse, you know, because our distance from God is the very cause of our corruption. We would not deface God's creation if we remembered that God is present here. I mean, how is it that we could destroy the earth except that we have convinced ourselves that God is not here? And how is it that we can harm our neighbor except that we do not see the face of Christ in strangers among us? I mean, our problem is not that God is absent, but that we are inattentive to all the dramatic signs that God is here and that God loves us. We close our eyes to what God is doing, and we plug our ears when God speaks. Paul Tillich was one of those mid-century theologians wondering how we were to perceive the presence of God in the rubble of the Great War. And Tillich says that the power of the old school prophets was not that they spoke of earth and heaven, but that they spoke of the God who shakes earth and heaven. All I'm saying is that our despair about racism and our despair about climate change, all the despair that we carry in our hearts about the horrible things that we have done, all that despair does not tell the biblical story. That small story we tell ourselves that God is not here, that God does not care, that God has moved on from us, that we are too small to draw God's attention. Well, let's tell ourselves the biblical story now, that God created the world, that God shaped us from the dust, that God will carry us to mountaintops and humble us to valleys, that God sometimes gets ticked off and knocks our whole world off kilter. Now that's the biblical story. If your world is shaken, open your eyes and look. Ask the prophet Isaiah, the windows rattle when the temple is filled with the glory of God. Woe is me! Woe is me! Isaiah squeaks. Not when God is absent, but when God has come way too close. This I also know is true. If it shakes, it is not God. It may be of God. It may be part of God's creation. But you can trust that if it's shaking, it's not God ultimately. God does not shake. God is the one who shakes. Shaking is the undeniable sign of God's faithfulness. You know that God is here because the shaking does not stop. In the letter to the Hebrews, we read of all the times when God has shaken the earth. Of all the people who have been shaken to their core, this letter was written to early Christians some two generations after Jesus had lived. They felt so distant from God. Jesus said he was going to come back, and he hasn't come back. Things are not going their way in Rome. The persecutions had begun, and they were about to intensify. And the author writes that the voice that had shaken the earth in the past promises to do it again. The author says that we interpret Jesus as the eternal shaker. Yet once more, Jesus says, I will shake earth and heaven. All the created things, they will fall away like leaves on a tree. All the superficial things, they will perish. All the toxic waste and trash, all the racialized hate, all the systematized evil, all the suffering and grief that we live with, these things are not God. And God is shaking them off of us like refuse that does not belong. This is the removal of all things that can be shaken. And all that remains is the one who creates, the one who lives, the one who shakes. The love of God endures forever. The faithfulness of God is unchanging and everlasting. That is the foundation of creation. the cornerstone that is sunk in solid rock beneath all the proud towers that we erect for ourselves. That is the biblical story. That is God. Always present, always coming closer, yet once more, God promises. So come into God's presence with singing. Let your knees knock. Let your spine tremble. Let the windows rattle. We belong to the one who shakes. Amen.